Welcome to today's edition of the Storefront Back Talk podcast series on payment security. I'm Evan Schumann. With the attention surrounding data breaches from TJX, Hannaford, Heartland, and others, there has been no shortage of retail payment discussions on ways to radically improve security. Processor Fifth Third wants to take digital snapshots of card mag stripes as ad authentication. Retailer OfficeMax has been toying with an aggressive challenge response system where consumers are peppered with rotating questions. Quick service restaurant giant McDonald's has done a strict and complete segmentation of all of its payment data, isolating it theoretically from everything else. And processor, as well as data breach victim, Heartland Payment Systems, is pushing an end-to-end encryption strategy, which it promises to start deploying for its customers by the third quarter of this year. But efforts like these tend to crack under the weight of a payment infrastructure that is biblically resistant to change. From the card brands to the processors to the retailers and even to consumers who might have to change their behaviors, any meaningful security improvement is going to cause a lot of businesses to have to change. To help us figure out how practical this is, we have with us today Bob Carr, the CEO of Heartland Payment Systems. And I want to thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
One of the core challenges impacting payment security in retail today is that the card brands, most notably Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, have been very resistant to accepting encrypted communications, forcing retailers to send data in the clear and to send that data via expensive private networks. You have had conversations with some of these brands, and it now seems as though they are open to considering an approach where they're going to be able to unencrypt data sent from merchants through your system and others. Can you give us an idea as to how those conversations have gone?
Well, we've talked to three of the brands about this, and none of them yet has committed. They're all working on determining the efforts that would be required, but the model that we have introduced into the discussion is the standard model that's being used to decrypt PIN numbers now. We're implementing a solution that encrypts the card number and the track data in a similar manner with the TRSM tamper-resistant security module at the point of sale. And the card brands have indicated a willingness to pursue accepting transactions from those processors who, including Heartland, who are willing to send encrypted tracks and or encrypted PANs to their specifications. So no one's, you know, agreed to do it yet, but the conversations have been positive. I think there is resistance to forcing encryption onto everybody, and that's not what we're suggesting. We're suggesting let's give the merchant the opportunity to upgrade their systems, to put in this additional level of security. And the card brands seem to be interested in accepting encrypted transactions from those merchants.
Now, a retail customer of yours who will be using the system, will they be able to send this data over internet open public networks?
We do have merchants that will send, if you're asking about card not present transactions, we've not addressed that. All we're addressing at this point are card swipe transactions, whether they be attended or unattended transactions. But yes, they can be sent over the web. Of course, you have SSL encryption on the web transmittal, but within that, you'll have the track number, the track data being encrypted as well as the PAN being encrypted.
This is going to potentially force a shifting of a lot of the liability. I mean, one of the things that some have been concerned about, the more you engage in encryption, the more you're shifting responsibility from the retailers to your organization, which retailers are quite happy about. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that if the merchants are willing to invest in the hardware to do the encryption and to change their approaches to not using the card number in the cardholder dispute realm, there's no way really for the merchant to be exposed to having card numbers stolen. So we already have the liability for what we do, and if the merchant's giving us encrypted data, that's good for us because we then don't have data in the clear. that can be compromised. And that's an ideal scenario from my point of view after what we've been through.
To look at it from the standards perspective, part of the problem here is that whereas you are a wonderful processor, you're not the only processor. And if you are allowing transactions to go through one particular fashion, and if Fifth Third and others go a different route, is this going to ultimately have the potential for causing problems down the road?
I think that's manageable, Evan, because the card brands will determine the specification for how they will accept the encrypted data. So the merchant will need to obviously use our standard. I don't think the merchants care all that much about it as long as our point-of-sale systems are able to work with our standard. And, of course, that's our job is to make sure that's the case. As they move through the various zones, there's five pieces of end-to-end encryption as we see it. The merchant has control of the first of the five. Heartland has the control of the next three pieces of it. And then the card brand has control of the fifth piece. So I think different processors will look at this in a different way. But just as we do now for PIN debit transactions into Interlink and Star and the other debit networks, we all submit transactions encrypted in manners and protocols that are acceptable to the receiving issuing institution. And we would be doing the same thing. That's the beauty of going to this TRSM encryption, is that we're not inventing brand new technology. We're using a proven technology in a way that already is working and very familiar with the whole industry.
Can you walk me through a little bit at the consumer level on dispute resolution, given that a good chunk of this approach involves taking the card number out of the equation? How is that intended to work?
Well, the consumer will do the same thing. They'll call or write their issuing bank and dispute a transaction or question a transaction. And today, the card brands have already assigned a reference number to that dispute. And instead of using the card number in the dispute within our internal back office systems, our intent is to use the reference number. We will have to, from time to time, pull up card numbers in our service center, but that'll be done through a secure process. The card numbers are all encrypted, you know, in the database and in the data warehouses, and there'll be decryption tools that are available to our service center to take the reference number and go track down the card number. And that's needed when there's duplicate transaction processing and if there's a batch balancing problem. Those kinds of tools are necessary, but they don't expose large numbers of card numbers at any one time, and we're just trying to reduce the exposure. I think this approach will reduce it tremendously and do it in a way that the merchant's not required to store card numbers anymore. The processor would have all the card numbers in their secure databases that are encrypted.
One of the classic challenges to these kinds of approaches is that the system is only as effective as the security surrounding the key. In the TJX case, one of the revelations early on was that the perpetrators not only accessed a ton of data, but they also accessed the keys, meaning that even if they had done more extensive encryption, it wouldn't have theoretically helped. What is your key protection method, and is there the potential that that could ultimately be an Achilles heel of the process?
Frankly, we think this is one of the great parts of our technology. We're not using a traditional key approach. We're using multiple keys in multiple zones, and the keys that are used to encrypt the transaction at the point of sale are changed every day for the merchant for the particular device, so that should somebody crack our keys, they would be able to get one batch of data from one merchant. We think this is really industry-changing, and it's a way that it really will work well for our merchants and for us. As soon as the data gets, as soon as the encrypted transactions get into our hardware security module and the batch is closed out, which is done daily, then those keys go away and are never used again. So we think our key management approach is really sort of elegant and solves an awful lot of problems, especially for unattended devices, which are so expensive to do key injection with.
So instead of making the system airtight, you're making it such that there is no way the perpetrators could get enough names or card data to make it worth their while. They need large volumes to make it work.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Sounds like a very, very intriguing approach, and I want to thank you very much for your time today. It's been most enlightening.
It's been my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to explain what we're doing.
For the Storefront Backtalk podcast series on payment security, this is Evan Schumann.